Hello, good afternoon. So if you are sitting at a table, there's a nice leafy green salad in front of you. And yes, there is dressing. There is dressing in the middle of the table. There is balsamic vinaigrette and there is ranch. If you need some assistance with finding the dressing, holler out so one of the banquet staff can come over. Thank you, banquet staff.
Hello, everybody. We are going to get started with our programming. And our first program is our Student of Excellence Award. We've been alternating between years, giving out awards to students and awards to teachers. So this year we gave an award to a student. Our student who is receiving our student award is Zan L. Peter, who is a sixth grader. Who was nominated by his teacher, Terry, Gwen, what's her last name? Delafer. And she couldn't be here with us today, unfortunately, but she did send us some words to say about Zane. She said that Zane was a very proud of him as a student. She sees a lot for him in his future. About learning to use accommodations for his visual disability and being starting to learn how to be an advocate for himself in sixth grade and moving up into the other grades. Looking at his application, she said that he is an excellent student, likes to learn, likes working with other students, and is developing his advocacy skills. So we have for him is a $50 Visa gift card, and we have a certificate, which I will hold up and I will read. The certificate is laminated, and it has print and braille on it. And it says, The Illinois Association of Blind Students proudly presents this award for excellence in education to Zan L. Peter on Saturday, October 29, 2022, at the annual convention. At the annual convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. Live the life you want. Zan and his family, would you guys like to come up here and receive your gift card and certificate? And if you would like to say a few words.
Thank you for honoring me for this reward. I never knew I was going to ever be up here right now at this moment. Today I want to explain three words that could describe me and why. Number one, positive. According to the dictionary, positive means to be optimistic or confident. I am positive because I could see endless possibilities in front of me. I am happy during the hard times and able to maintain a positive attitude. Two, fun. According to the dictionary, fun is something that brings you amusement. I am fun because I enjoy my friends and especially enjoy school and learning. I have many interests that fuel my fun, including astronomy, art, and music. was up to something after this. No. Before I head out, I just want to thank my teacher for animating this reward.
Congratulations, Zane. Next, we will be hearing from Patty Chain and Debbie Stein, our scholarship co-chairs and our scholarship finalists.
Hi there. Do we have a mic runner so that somebody can bring the mic to our scholarship finalists for them to introduce themselves? Okay, that would be great. So, our scholarship program is really one of the, I think of it as sort of one of the crowning jewels of our National Federation of the Blind of Illinois programs, because through our scholarship program, we have had the opportunity to meet and get to know and mentor some truly wonderful students over the years, and many of them we've seen get involved in our movement and go on to do good things out in the world. So this year, we have three scholarship finalists, and we say that they are finalists up until the point they receive their scholarship awards tonight at the banquet. The National Federation of the Blind of Illinois Scholarship Program is open to any post-secondary legally blind student who is going to be enrolled full-time in September of the coming year. This scholarship year will be September 2023. Enrolled full-time in an institution, an accredited institution of higher learning. So that could be a community college, it could also be a four-year college, it could be graduate program. And I want to thank the members of our NFB of Illinois Scholarship Committee, Denise Avant, Dustin Cather, Bridget Burke, Dave Meyer, Kathy Randall, and Juliet Walker for doing some really hard and thoughtful ongoing work throughout the year to make this program possible. So I would like to give each of our scholarship finalists the opportunity to introduce themselves, and we will start with Abu El-Faki. Can somebody get a microphone to Abu?
If they raise their hand, I can find them. Oh, there, I got it.
You got it? Okay, thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Abu El-Faki. I'm a student at Northern Illinois University, currently majoring in rehab and disability services. This is my first NFB convention ever, and I love it here.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Ashley Ramos, and I am a graduate from Juliet Junior College, but I'm just finishing my internship, and then I will be transferring to Lewis University, and I'm happy to be back. I was here last year for the first time, and I'm happy to be back with everyone.
How about Vance Herder?
Hello, everybody. I'm Vance Herder. I am currently a freshman at Eastern Illinois University in my first semester, going to a four-year college, planning on becoming a mathematics high school teacher and seeking an endorsement to teach middle school as well, because I want to be a mentor to the next generation and help them out as much as they can. And I'm excited for being here. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally, Rachel Newland.
Okay, hold on, I'm coming. Here's your mic. There you go.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Dr. Rachel Newland. I am currently enrolled in my first semester of the Vision Rehabilitation Therapy Master's Program at Northern Illinois University. I have a plan to specialize in teaching assistive technology to the blind. With this scholarship, it's my hope and my dream to finally own my own Braille display. And not have to borrow and beg and mooch off of other people to get one. And so I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And before I step down, I would like to talk a little bit about another program that we have, which is also operated by our committee, and that is our internship program. And the idea of our NFB of Illinois internship program is to give people an opportunity to get hands-on work experience, because when you go off for a job interview, they say, so what have you done? And if you can't tell them, you know, they're going to kind of shake their heads and say, well, you know, you're blind and you don't know how to do these things because you haven't done them. Show me how you do it. So we created this program about 12 years ago with the idea that people can, and this doesn't have to be students, it could also be people who have been out of the workforce for a while and they want to get some experience. People can find volunteer work opportunities in a field that interests them and earn a stipend through the National Federation of the Blind. So you go someplace where you'd like to work, you'd like to get some experience. They don't have to pay you. They don't have to make a big commitment to hire you, but they do give you the opportunity to be there, work there, do something meaningful, and meantime, you can get paid by us. So it's a win-win, and we really hope that people in this room will think about taking this opportunity and help us spread the word. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie and Patty. Up next, we will have Dr. Madeline Shaheen and her students to talk about the STEM EQ program.
All right, friends, how are we doing? All right, so at lunch, what we're going to do, our activity is to build a tower out of the food you haven't eaten. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so I'm here to talk about our NFB EQ program. So the National Federation of the Blind, our national organization, has had a National Science Foundation grant for the last 5 years to run STEM programs for blind high school students. Those programs have been called NFB EQ. In 2019, we ran one face-to-face. You know, that was the pre-pandemic time. Maybe you remember that time. And we could do face-to-face stuff. And then in 2020, 2021, we ran virtual programs because, you know, this pandemic happened and is happening and all this. And we brought students from across the country together to engage in some engineering curriculums where they did stuff not too different from what you guys did this morning, except they had to build stuff from scratch, so kind of like building one of those houses, but from the raw wood. So we had a lot of fun. We also had students at the convention in 2019, and then this past summer in New Orleans, we had a bunch of students there as well. Perhaps you ran into us at the exhibit hall and built a roller coaster for a marble, or what else did we have? Or solved a snap cube puzzle, or made a cube out of index cards, and then made a bigger cube and a bigger cube. Does anybody remember the cubes? Yeah, did you build a cube at the convention in New Orleans? If you did, say hey.
Hey!
Yeah, you're welcome. That was NFBEQ. So anyway, I have somebody much more interesting than me here to tell you a little bit more about her experience. So here is Andrea Cataquist, one of our students.
Hello.
No, Andrea, can you step over here? Let's bring the mic down.
Okay. Hello. These past 2 years have been a lot of fun with STEMEQ. We got a lot of fun stuff in the mail when we did it on via Zoom. That was 2 summers ago. That's the first time I met Natalie. We did origami through Zoom. We built with Legos. Let's see, what else did we do? We tried engineering drawing. That was a little bit of a challenge because, you know, across Zoom. And then we finished off the week by, or the form, no, the month of science with sharing our experiences with one another and with others through any way we wished. So I wrote some articles about what we did. Other people built or made their own origami projects. And then this past summer, as Natalie said, we were in New Orleans. That was a lot of fun. There was a lot of art and technology and engineering exhibits and events. There's a lot of fun new technology to check out. We did more science-related projects. As Natalie mentioned, our roller coasters and our cubes out of index cards, our puzzles. It was a lot of fun. We got to meet with individuals in science fields, which was very inspiring. With the technology that I've seen, with the individuals that I've met, I think that I could join them. I could potentially become an engineer someday, maybe. And I think that would be a lot of fun. And I think I can do a lot with that and reach, I hope I can reach a lot of people. And I think I'll end here because I don't know how much time I have. But that was it was definitely a lot of fun, a lot of science, and a lot of learning.
All right, thanks, Andrea. That's what we've got, friends. That was NFBEQ. All right, thanks so much. Thank you, Dr. Shaheen and Andrea. Next, we will have Abu talking about the college readiness program.
microphone's to your left.
Hello, everyone. This is Abu El Faki. I'll be talking about the National Federation of the Blind Career Mentoring Program. I was actually so excited when I was told by Marilyn I'll be talking about this program because I think it'll be helpful for a lot of people to know about it. I really love that program, and I've been blessed to be in it. So for those who are not aware of that program, the NFB Career Mentoring Program is where youth 14 to 22 get paired up with a positive blind role model, and we get to explore subjects related to college, the workforce, and we also get to social network. And most importantly, we get to learn that it's like okay to be blind and how to survive and thrive with blindness. Some of my favorite sessions, one of the sessions that we had was called How to Get the Best Out of Your IEP. I actually attended that session a little bit before my last IEP, senior year, and I wished I knew about it a lot earlier. I feel like in school we are taught what IEP is, and what it does, but we're never taught what our rights are and how to get those. Like sometimes we face barriers and stuff, and we don't know how to face it. So that session was a great way to know my rights, and I wish I had this like in my earlier school years. And another session that we had is like how to, once you get a career, how to, you know, there is like things we have to live up to, like if you have your own office in a company, how to you wouldn't be sitting in the dark, you should have your lights on, those little things that we're usually taught how to build our resume, how to do our cover letters, and how to fill an application. But once we get into a job, we're never shown how to get it. So once we were in that session, I was like, yeah, that's what I wanted. Like, nobody ever told me about those stuff. And so if you would like to read more about this program, there's an article written by my amazing mentor, Maurice Bray, in the Blind Monitor. You can read it because it's well written, or you can read it because I'm in it. So, I encourage you to. And also, we're not only looking for mentees. They're always looking for mentors. As a mentor, you get to build your social and professional network. It's such a great program, and it's only offered for like four states. It's only Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, and Illinois. So we're so special to have it. So I encourage you. Do we have any questions? Do we have any time for questions?
Maybe for like one question.
All right. Does anyone have any questions? No? All right. Thank you so much.
Up next, we will have Elizabeth Rouse speaking about her journey as a blind student.
I am a lot taller than the last couple people who have been at this podium. Whew. Hello, everyone. I think Natalie is right. The last time that she got up to speak, she said, yeah, we're at the loud table. So thank you, Anna, for that. And I will be back there soon to be the other half of your loud table. I was reading over the agenda, and I saw that my little talkie talk is all about growing in the NFB, and that is something I'm very familiar with. So I thought it might be kind of beneficial just to share a little bit about my experience in the Federation. If you guys have some questions at the end, we can tackle some questions, but I'm kind of just going to give you the overview because I think everyone's journey in the Federation is unique, but we all grow in our own different ways. We're like little plants. But I do want to start with the fact that growth is a mindset. Being willing to grow is not always easy. It's not always what we choose to do. And when I started my involvement in the NFB, I didn't know that growth was a mindset. So I found the Federation for the very first time when I was in the eighth grade. I went to the NFB's law conference, which I believe, Natalie, you ran, correct? Yes, so I never met Natalie until yesterday, actually, but she's been a big part of my time in the NFB, so thank you. For those of you who aren't familiar, NFB Law Conference is what I kind of understand to be Junior Washington Seminar. So you fly out to Baltimore, you stay at the JI, and like my mom went with me, so it was a really great time for my family to also kind of start having some of the more in-depth conversations about blindness and having a blind person in your family dynamic. But I went and I was just as loud back then as I am now. And let me tell you, the JI was not ready. But right away, the JI stood out to me, the NFB stood out to me because I was very familiar with the Iowa Department for the Blind, and I was very familiar with the Iowa, I believe now it's called IESBVI, Iowa Educational Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired, or Iowa Educational School. It's the blind school in Iowa. Can you tell I was a public education kid? But IESBVI, the things that I was really used to when I went to those entities were, you can't go anywhere by yourself. You need to stay with an adult. You shouldn't do that because that's dangerous. And one of the best things that anyone in the NFB has ever told me, I don't even remember who it came from, it was probably President Riccobono, who was just Mark at the time. Go explore. This is your home. Just remember that if you get lost, we're not coming to find you. And in case anyone did not know, if you get into the parking garage, the door locks behind you. So me and my friend Roman and my friend Jaden were stuck in the parking garage, and Roman was like, I'm climbing the fence. Here we go. Luckily, I tell the story that there's barbed wire at the top of that fence. Don't ruin my rep, Natalie. Come on. Okay, well, it was a way cooler story before. But the NFB really stood out to me because it was, we're not coming to find you, but like, do what you need to do. Remember how to come back home at the end of the day. And unfortunately, the NFB did not stick with me quite at that point. I went through the rest of my high school career. I became a freshman in college in 2016. And I was really lucky to bump into my friends Katie and Marissa. And Katie and Marissa are both blind students. We were all at the same college, all at the same time. Wow, an anomaly. But Katie had just won a national scholarship, and she decided she wanted to start a student division in Iowa. So the National Federation of the Blind re-entered my life in 2016. And I was one of the individuals who applied for a national scholarship a couple times before I got one in 2018. Exactly what Abu was just talking about, mentorship became a really important part of my life. I will shamelessly tell you all that one of my absolute favorite mentors is Denise Avant from Illinois. She is still to this day the person, one of two of my mentors that I call, and I'm like, Denise, my life is a mess, please help me. And usually she's like, all right, what's going on? And we get through it. But that was a very packed week full of mentorship and inspiration in the good sense, not in the cringy, all these blind people are inspiring sense, because I was really kind of got a reality check. I was walking around thinking that I was this independent person, and all these other blind people were just showing me up. It was the cane technique. It was the technology. It was the I'm gonna go buy Scott LaBarre a drink because I can kind of attitude. And that really kind of was my reckoning to the fact that I needed to go to non-visual skills training. I will say I did go to LCB. So LCB Pride, I'm a Ruston girl through and through. Give me the fire ants, come heck or high water. And I went to LCB after a very long fight with my VR agency in January of 2021. And I definitely witnessed growth in myself. I witnessed it in those people around me. And I think one of the coolest things that I learned about mentorship while I was at LCB is that mentorship is a two-way street if you allow it to be. I learned things from Pam Allen, and I like to think that in some ways, Pam might have just managed to learn something from me too when I wasn't being sassy. I can also say that this mentorship two-way street is very evident in the friends that I've met through the Federation. One of the best pieces of advice that a friend of mine ever gave me when I first got into the NAB circuit was, Elizabeth, remember that your NFB friends are your friends, but they shouldn't be your only friends. Which is really hard for me to remember sometimes, because I think there's a certain level of relatability among the blind community. There are things that I can talk to about with friends who share the similarity with me that I really just can't cover with my sighted peers. I can call my best friend Lexi and I can say, Lexi, this is what the Law School Admissions Council just did to me. Please scream. And she'll scream. But Lexi's never had to request an accommodation for a test. At least for the specific reasons that I do. But I've been able to see that growth mindset, that two-way mentorship, be inspired in so many of my friends. I had a conversation a week ago with one of my friends about why he wasn't carrying his cane regularly. He had just spent the entire summer getting into the routine of carrying his cane. And I was like, okay, bro, let's talk about this. Put on some gloves, get your hands out of your pocket, grab your cane and go. Like, just do it. And he's also the same person who helped me decide to move back to Iowa. So he's very a tough love person. So it works out for us. We can grow together. I think I also have that relationship with Trisha Kulkarni. I've got to watch Trisha accept her need to go to training post Stanford. But I will tell you all, one of the coolest transformations that I've seen is in my friend Anna. Okay, and Anna's back at that table, and she might cry, she might blush, but she's gonna get over it. I have watched Anna go from this southern, nice girl, bless your heart and all, to walking out of the O'Hare Airport the other day. She wasn't forced into a wheelchair. She wasn't told this is the way we're gonna go. She said, someone give me directions to departures. I'm going to find Elizabeth. And again, I'm loud, so she found me pretty easily. But Anna was not forced to take anything. She stood up for herself. She asked for exactly what she needed. And I don't think a year and a half ago, Anna, do you think you would have had the confidence to do that as confidently as you did? No. But Anna has really spread her wings. She got involved with NAB. She's attended her first national convention. She's been on the state student division board. She won a state student scholarship. She came to Midwest. And now she's here learning from all of you. That's my roommate. So I think we can look around this room at the people who have inspired us and the people whom we have inspired to really see the embodiment of the growth mentality that is the National Federation of the Blind, that the NFB allows us to have. It gives us this community of friends that feel more like family, who allow us to grow as we go. I think they offer us a lot of support in the tough times, encouragement when it's needed most, and a level of relatability I didn't know my life was missing before I found the NFB. So I definitely want to leave you with a challenge. I didn't make you do anything during this presentation like Natalie did, but I want you to do something after. I want you to keep fulfilling those needs for another person in this room and pick someone who can help fulfill those needs in your life. Because without each other, the growth won't happen. We push each other to be better, and that's what the NFB is all about. So thank you all for listening to my story. I can tackle a question if Ellen says I have time. You can find me later.
Elizabeth, I just have one comment / question. So earlier you mentioned the JI. For those who are new, who don't know what the JI is, could you please tell us what the JI is and who it's named after?
Absolutely, I can. So the Jernigan Institute, named after Kenneth Jernigan, who is one of the past presidents of the NFB, really, really strong leader who came out of Iowa, actually. The Jernigan Institute is the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind. It's located in Baltimore, Maryland. And it is what is referred to very, very often as the home of all blind people. So it's got a lot in it, and I'm going to forget some of it, so someone help me out if I do. It's where the Independence Market is housed that Adelma was talking about earlier. It's got library resources, it's got technology resources, it's got Braille resources. It's where a lot of our national office employees work out of on a daily basis. So it houses things like our legislative governmental affairs team. It's where President Riccobono's office is. It's also got things like members hall in it, so really large spaces where groups of us can congregate and do different things. I've gotten absolutely demolished in goal ball in members hall, and I had the rug burns at the time to prove it. Say that again? I did break a board in members hall, and I was also wearing high heels when I did it, so got it. But there's so much there. There's also like a residential area inside, so that if you go and you visit our national headquarters, there's a financial offset, so you don't have to pay a hotel fee or different things like that. It's been really, really beautifully renovated over the last couple years, so it is a fantastic place. If you have not been there, I strongly, strongly encourage you to go. Anyone else, did I miss anything at the JI? Say that again, Patty. Tell me what that means. International Braille and Technology Center. See, Patty knows what's up. Yes, that is what I was thinking about when I said tech resources, but it's essentially a giant room full of pretty much every single technical device that you can think of, if not every single technical device for access technology basis that you can think of. So tons of great opportunities to learn, be mentored, be a mentor, et cetera, et cetera. And the parking garage that I got locked in. Thanks, Patty. She's feisty. You did it too? It happened to the president. I ain't ashamed no more. There you go. If it happens to Marilyn, it can happen to anyone. Yes. Other last-minute questions? All right. I'm gonna take it. That means I did a okay job. I will talk to you all one more time, I think, tomorrow. But like I said, and I've said from the get-go, I'm around. I'm literally 2.5 hours down the road, so I'm not far. You could probably yell, and I'd hear you. But if y'all need anything, I'm hoping to maybe quite possibly be relocated to Illinois within the next, you know, year and a half or so. So there's the song that's I'm coming home, I'm coming home, tell the world that I'm coming home. So thank you all so much and enjoy the rest of your lunch.
activity, I need everyone to get up and come towards the front of the room. Okay. So we're going to play a game, which is from one of my favorite movies, The Freedom Riders, and it's called Cross the Line. So I will say a statement, and if you agree with what I say, I'm getting there. If you agree with what I say, you're going to move to my right the right side of the podium. And if you disagree with what I say, you're going to move to the left side of the podium. You're facing the podium where I am.
Okay. If you, am I agree or disagree?
I haven't said a statement yet.
Well, no, but we're talking about it. Okay. Is the affirmative the right side of the podium?
So when you're facing the podium where you hear my voice coming from, if you agree, you're going to move towards the right side of the podium. If you disagree, you're going to move towards the left side.
Ellen, did you already give a statement?
No, okay. I'm about to.
Okay, thank you. We were confused.
I was just going to ask if we're ready.
We're ready.
Okay. Cross the line if you agree with having a personal assistant or a wheelchair when you are at the airport.
Just with like all the tables, because like there's not even 5 feet of room.
Uh-huh. Okay. Change of plan. So we're gonna do a voice vote because there's a lot of little tables and stuff. So everyone who agreed with having a personal assistant or wheelchair access at the airport, agree by saying aye. People that disagree, identify by saying aye.
Aye.
Can we get someone who to agree to state their opinion? I need a mic runner, please. Thank you.
All right, guys, I'm the runner.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm Glenn, by the way. If you don't agree with that, go to the other side.
Someone who agrees with the statement.
I I agree. Well, Majestine, by the way.
Can you say your name, please?
Majestine Sylvain. I agree to having assistance because, one, it may be an unfamiliar area to some, and two, for medical reasons, some people cannot walk that far without a wheelchair.
Okay, can we get someone from the disagree side?
So I don't agree that this is a necessity. I think what needs to happen, as we do in all things with any kind of accommodations, we should be able to ask for what we need when we need it, and we should be able to ask for the various things that we needed. When you go to an airport, there's no need to bring me a wheelchair just because I'm blind. It gets so bad sometimes, I'm even looking into, you know, using Ira to help me navigate through the airport because of the fact that they think I need a wheelchair, they want to push me, they want to pull me. So I definitely disagree. I don't think it's necessary.
Would anybody else like to speak?
Well, Debbie has a question, so let's let her out.
Okay. Now,
Ellen, sure, go ahead.
Wait. I got the mic. Ellen, did you say in your question, did you say necessity number one?
I did not say necessity.
Okay. So, I was one of the ones that said I agree, and as what was her name? I didn't hear her name, young lady. Majestine said, sometimes it's a medical necessity for the individual, such as somebody like me that's on crutches. That's a medical need. But it still should be my choice, and a choice that's made with my input.
All right. Elizabeth.
All right. Hold on, Elizabeth. Really needs to be iterated too.
Got it. I think the other thing that needs to be iterated is respect the choice that I make. Don't follow me for an entire terminal with a wheelchair. Don't impose your feelings about your worry and ask me how I get on and off a moving sidewalk. Either give me directions or leave me the heck alone, bro. I don't have time.
Next statement. Do you agree or disagree having a blind nurse being your treatment nurse for you getting shots or helping you in the clinic or the hospital? Yeah, we're doing voices. Okay, if you agree, identify by saying aye.
Aye.
If you disagree, identify by saying aye. Okay, I'll repeat the question. Do you agree or disagree having a blind nurse take care of your medical needs? Agree. Identify by agreeing and say aye. Disagree, say aye. Did no one disagree with the statement?
I semi.
Or can I get it? Okay, I'll say it again. Would agree or disagree to have a blind nurse be the one taking care of your medical needs? Identify if agree by saying aye. Disagree. Okay. Okay. To the person that disagreed, would you like to say something since you're the only one that's thinking that one?
All right, so this is Natalie. I don't disagree with this. I agree with this, but here's my thoughts on it. So if a blind person passed all of the tests to be licensed as a nurse, then I don't have any problems with a blind person being my nurse. Now, if some random blind person walks into the hospital and is not licensed to be a nurse, I'm not okay with them being my nurse. So that's what I would say.
Does anybody else like to speak on that issue, since everyone kind of agrees? Question?
Oh, God, I've never been
here. Do you have a question?
No.
No. Oh.
Ready for the next statement.
Okay. Next statement. Would you disagree or agree having to pay lower than the normal payment for public transportation service because you are a blind person?
Having to or having the option?
Having the option.
I agree.
If you agree, identify by saying aye.
Aye.
If you disagree.
Yeah.
Or. People!
Hey guys, listen up.
Listen up! Next statement. Do you agree or disagree as a blind person being able to pay lower wages to take public transportation?
Yes!
Identify by saying aye. Agree, say aye.
Aye.
Disagree, say aye. Oh, let's hear it from someone that disagrees.
Make a pick, Ellen. We'll do Debbie.
Okay, my understanding of the question is, do I agree or disagree that a blind person should be able to pay a lower fare to use public transportation? Have I got that right?
Yes.
Okay, so I disagree because a blind person may be a millionaire. A blind person might be impoverished. And I don't understand why blindness per se should be the deciding factor of whether you would pay a lower fare. So a lot of people probably could benefit from paying a lower fare because they have a lower income. But it's not about whether they have a disability.
Oh, let's hear from someone who agrees. Or Patty, that works too. Patty. Well, let's hear from Patty because she has the microphone.
Ditto on what Debbie said, and the thing that I would point out, because the next argument will be that more blind people are in poverty than sighted folks, which is undoubtedly true. But blindness should not be a proxy for poverty any more than race should be, and we don't do that with race. If we're going to give discounted rates that are really based on poverty, let's do it based on poverty. If you can prove you make less than a certain amount, then you pay half fare. I'm worried about how much these half fare things hurt us. For example, and I don't know if you're going to do this one, but amusement parks, like my kids and I used to fight all the time. I wait in line at amusement parks because I don't want potential employers to think blind folks can't stand in line or wait or stand or walk or et cetera. I think that what you're saying to the public is not helpful when we want employment, when we want education, and other things.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's hear from somebody who agrees with the statement. I know I heard a bunch of you earlier.
Michael, where are you? Coming to you. Here you go.
So I said I agree, I guess not so much for any kind of philosophical reasons, but it's kind of, you know, one of the things that blind people, we rely heavily on public transit, and it's kind of nice to have that benefit of the lower fare. So it's kind of a selfish rationale, but not really connected to blindness. So I attack this kind of from, a selfish, practical perspective, if that makes sense.
Oh, anyone else who agrees? We already heard from two people that disagree. Okay, let's hear what you have to say. Can we hear from two people that disagree? Let's hear from two people agree.
Is that Javon? I'm coming to you, Javon.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even need a microphone. Oh, Lord. Okay. Coming from a world, I think that we're living in a world where, I'm gonna put it to you this way. I was at a Hillary Clinton rally once, and I asked her, what does she plan on doing about the cost of living going up and the Social Security for the blind people that cannot have jobs? Basically stays the same. I got kicked out that rally. Yeah, so I believe that having low fares it helps, because a lot of us are unemployed and the money is not really there, and to the point where we can't even share an apartment together and things like that. So I believe that accommodation is necessary, and I just believe that us as blind people need to have a bigger scope of what it really means to be independent. Is it independent to keep using that fare, or once we get a job to pay the full fare so that the other people can take full advantage of that opportunity? That's my thoughts.
Steve.
Come on, Steve.
People,
we
have people speaking. Can you please be respectful to the people speaking?
This always has been a hot subject of debate in the Federation, primarily because a lot of blind people, and we've heard this number of 70%+ unemployment. A lot of people are unemployed and therefore have limited income. The problem is the way they structured the federal regulation implementing the National Mass Transportation Assistance Act of 1974, because the rule says, the rule defines transportation handicap, that was the language of the day, as any person or any condition, temporary or permanent, that makes it difficult or impossible to use public transportation without special accommodations or services. So it's like you may have to pay a reduced fare for economic reasons, but the principle by which that you become eligible for that benefit is not really appropriate, though. I'm sorry to say that, but in April 1975, the Urban Mass Transportation Administration, now Federal Transit Administration, held hearings in Chicago's City Hall in the room where the aldermen meet. And I said, we don't want to be considered transportation handicap. There might be some reason for reduced fare based on income, but don't do it based on transportation handicap, because you're telling the transportation authority, we can't really get around because we're blind, and you don't want to tell the transit system that you have difficulty using their service. Anyway, I could go on for all the rest of the day and half the night, and we can't do that. Sorry.
Okay, this is our last question. Do you agree or disagree of letting a blind person cut, style, or dye your hair? If agree, identify by saying aye. If you disagree, identify by saying aye. Let's hear from the person that disagrees.
Dustin, you have a comment.
I'm just saying, my hair is all I got, so, you know. that's all.
Your hair's falling out. You still need to get it done.
I don't trust my barber. My barber is just my guy. I just want to go to anyone else. So.
Let's hear from someone that agrees.
Remember to call your name loud.
Let's hear from someone that agrees.
You know, 25 years ago, I would have disagreed with that statement.
Let's hear from Dave.
So, the reason I agree with it now is because I saw it in action. When I went to train for a guide dog back in 1998, my roommate, who was blind, did his own hair. He did it, he was able to do it, because he had a clipper that he could set in just the way that he wanted it so that he could cut his hair the way he wanted it to be cut. And it was not anything special. I think he bought it at a Walmart of all places. But after that experience, I said, it's doable.
Thank you for Dave, for someone who's willing to change his opinion based on seeing someone's experience. Do we have anybody else that disagrees?
Call out your name loud if you want to get the mic. All right. Debbie, I'm coming. Here we go, Debbie.
What I'm saying is, as a parent who has had to cut my son's hair and being blind, I, like Dave was talking about, had to do it and put the gauge on the clippers and do it. So it is doable. It is workable.
I thought you were disagreeing, Debbie.
No, I agreed with the statement. I said I would have disagreed had I not seen it in action.
Does anybody, this is our last one, does anybody else want to speak or say anything? Anybody at all?
Michael?
I agree.
You're right there.
Oh, well. I don't know who I am.
So I agree with the statement. I would analogize it to the well, the previous scenario with the blind nurse, and I think it was Natalie's point that if the nurse is trained, licensed, you know, the same thing. A lot of states now regulate hairdressers and, you know, require them to get a license. If the person is well qualified and knows what they're doing, I'm totally fine with getting a haircut from a blind person. Obviously, I would, you know, do my research first. You know, I'd want to vet the person to make sure that, but that's not just, you know, with a blind person, but with any person. They know what they're doing.
Oh, who was to my left that said they agreed? I said I. Okay, go ahead. I don't know who me is yet.
So I don't have anything to say besides what Michael said. He said exactly what I would say.
Okay. Thank you for everybody participating in this amazing activity. Your impact. We sold all our chocolate today. Thank you for everyone who bought chocolate from us. We are still taking donations for Piapalooza.
you at with the money? How much have you raised? Who's getting the pie in the face? Besides Sarah Luna and Ellen Bartel.
Glenn, how are we doing on the pie?
I don't have the figures with me, but it's over 400.
Oh, 400. Debbie Stein's getting a pie in the face. All right. Right. Okay, everyone. Excuse me.
Let's hear from our, thank you, everybody, for our line. Let's hear from our amazing President Marilyn Green.
All right. Thank you, everyone. So the students finished a little bit early. The breakouts will start at 1:45 p.m. If you want to do iPads and iPhones with Athea Jamoa from iLearn LLC from Michigan, that is in conference room D. If you want to see if you can dance, meet Patty Chang and Teresa Fabre in conference room F. And we will come back into this room at 3:15 for general sessions. Yeah.